presented by Pinnacle. I'm Zach Phillips, joined here today by So Money and Alex B. Smith to finish off this week. Preview the four games on the schedule here tonight. Give out best bets as well. We'll answer some questions from the chat. But before we can get into any of that, I want to remind people that if you haven't already, make sure to sign up at Pinnacle Sportsbook. Pinnacle is the world's sharpest sportsbook and is now available in Ontario. You can find out what professional bettors have known for decades. Pinnacle is where the best bettors play. You must be 19 plus in Ontario. Please play responsibly. And remember, not available in the U.S., but as we pull up games here today, as we pull up different prices, you're going to see that Pinnacle has the best odds on most, if not all, of the games that we're pulling up, whether it be sides or totals. So make sure to sign up for Pinnacle now. Gentlemen, let's get into it. Last night, 2-2. At least we got back to 500 there for ourselves on the night last night, so that's all right. We'll take that based on what we've been having going on for us over the last little while. It hasn't been too pretty, so 500 on the night, we'll take it. Let's jump into it right away. Let's not waste any time here. Let's get to some of the games, and we'll start with the Vancouver-Nashville game. So Money, if you're seeing this price right now, Nashville hosting the Canucks, we got -107 on the Predators, -103 on the Canucks as of right now, total of 5.5 for the most part across the board. What are your thoughts on this game and where we're seeing the number right now?
I did bet the Canucks. I think we can go ahead and lock that in. I like them. I officially have a big edge on them. I like them up to -112. So, excuse me. A couple of things. The way that this series has played out. So one of my generally big buy signals on a team is that even though they lost a game, you need to make the story about why they lost, right? So you look at the Canucks game, they lost the game, but the reasons why they lost that can be they're easily fixable, right? This is a team that for whatever reason in game two, they started not shooting the puck, right? Yes, Nashville got in a lot of shooting lanes. Give credit to them. But when you, and Rick Tocchet touched on this as well, right? When you see guys like Dakota Joshua trying to skate east-west instead of going north-south, that's a problem, right? So I think that, and Tocchet called out everybody, not in like a way that was kind of demoralizing, but in his way, in his style, where, look, like, we are the better team, right? And the numbers bear that out, right? It was a 4-1 loss. It was not a 4-1 game, right? So the Canucks are the better team. They have a level that they can get to, and we saw that in game two, that Nashville is not capable of getting to that point, right? Nashville is very good at choking out the game when, I shouldn't even say choking out the game, I'd absorbing the game when they're playing with the lead. That's not sustainable, especially against a team with the Canucks that's more physical, and Nashville needs to block all those shots. At some point, as this series goes on, theoretically, that's going to start taking its toll physically. So the way that Nashville is playing this series is not sustainable. The Canucks, for their part, I think getting on the road, they are a good road team. Getting on the road, they will be able to simplify their game. And that's what Tocchet touched on. So what does it mean to simplify your game? So what we saw last game was there was, I don't want to single out anybody because it was, this is more of like a general level, but a guy like Pettersson, right, when he's in front of the net and he's passing instead of shooting, which is his bread and butter, Pettersson should be shooting every time he's in the slot. There's no, I don't care who's around you, he needs to take that shot, right? So when he's passing, when like guys like Dakota Joshua are like trying to deke around guys instead of just like going through guys like what he's supposed to, I think that we're not going to see that here. touch on Casey DeSmith. Yes, goaltending, obviously, it's a big downgrade from Demko, but you look at that first goal, lots of bad luck there, right? Like DeSmith will be the first one to tell you that he overcommitted and then he couldn't get back to his line, right? So whatever, I don't think Demko gives up that goal. Forsberg, the goal in front of the net. Desmet cheated too much. He wasn't on his line. No, Demko doesn't give that up. But there was a player in Forsberg who was allowed to skate out from behind the net, skate right up to the slot untouched, and get a clean shot on goal. To me, that's the bigger problem here, right? So, and then again, there was a lot of defensive breakdowns. You didn't have Tyler Myers in that game. Noah Juulsen came in for him. He struggled. He clearly is not ready. I'm high on Juulsen, but he's not ready for this stage and the way that Nashville plays right now. So getting Tyler Myers back will be big. So I did bet the Canucks. Another thing I bet too is Talkett put Pettersson back on the first unit power play. The power play has struggled. The thought behind the struggle has been the Canucks are not shooting enough. So why are you putting Pettersson back on the first unit power play? It's for him to shoot. Right. We're hoping that he gets his confidence back a little bit. That's what he needs to do, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. He needs to shoot. Right. So I think we're going to see Pettersson shooting the puck. I did bet him over 2.5 shots on goal. We got plus 140 is right there. So I don't think that plus 140 accounts for what the Canucks are trying to do with Pettersson. They're trying to open him up. They're going to give him every opportunity to get his confidence back. And a lot of that confidence is predicated on shooting the puck, right? So I think we're going to see lots of shots on goal by the Canucks. We're going to see a business-like road game. And we're going to see we're going to see Pettersson shooting the puck a lot more.
Is there any concern for you here in this game with the hostility of the crowd and the combination of that and a guy like DeSmith going in there in this game? Like those two piling on together, does that concern you at all? I mean, as a bettor, sure, but as a Canucks fan, first and foremost.
If the Canucks lose this game, it's not going to have anything to do with DeSmith getting rattled because of the crowd. I think that his demeanor, everything that I've seen from him, everything I've heard from Talkett, he's a very even keeled person, right? And he's very realistic about his abilities as well. So I don't think he's gonna get rattled by the crowd. So that doesn't concern me at all. And the Canucks, like, this is something that Talkett addressed yesterday as well, like maybe getting out on the road right now and playing the villain is good sometimes, right? So and the Canucks do have guys that kind of do have that swagger, right? So like JT Miller comes to mind, right? He's the kind of player that would excel in a situation like this, and he does have the ability to prop up the guys around him as well. So I'm not, and the Canucks are a good road team, right? So I'm not concerned from that perspective at all. If the Canucks lose this game tonight, it's not going to be because of that. It's going to be because they weren't able to simplify their game, and they weren't able to break through after getting behind early. That's the reason why the Canucks would lose this game.
Alex, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this game, but before I do that, just quickly, I'm sure both of you have seen now at this point, potentially two of the worst videos of all time have now come out of the Canucks fan base during this playoffs, one being the song and the second one being the group of people who sat down to tell Casey DeSmith that the city of Vancouver is behind him. Are you worried at all, so money, at this point that between those two videos that there's just some bad juju in the air for the Canucks right now?
I'm trying to counteract that with the Somo Mojo. So I'm working very, very hard behind the scenes. Okay. That whatever bad vibes are coming from that, it is being worked on being counteracted here.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that you were aware of it, and we were working on that.
I'm aware.
Thank you. Alex, you also have a bet for us in this game, or you have a way that you're looking at this one here. What is that?
Yeah, I do. I like the first period over here, and it's kind of in line with what Somebody's talking about. The Vancouver Canucks have to simplify things, getting on the road, not only do they have to shoot more, but they have to take better quality shots. I was looking at the shot chart last night from the last game. I'm seeing where Vancouver's shots are coming from. It pretty much looks like Ray Charles playing darts, essentially. Like, there's shots all over the place, nothing making any sense, no kind of pattern or coordination. So simplifying things, taking out that extra pass, like I said, having guys like Elias Pettersson shooting more, being in front of the net, having Dakota Joshua, you know, use his body. Like I said, he's not a hands guy. He's a body guy. Get in front of the net, you know, muck things up, get traffic in front of Saros. That's the way you beat him. And like I said, they're not going to be phased or rattled by this crowd. Yes, it's one of the better home ice crowds during the playoffs. Bridgestone Arena gets very, very loud. But this is a team, like I said, with some quality veterans who know how to take the air out of a building. And if Vancouver is going to win this contest, you have to take out the air out of the building by scoring first, scoring early. And I think we'll see goals going both ways, honestly, in the first 20 minutes of this. As a Canucks futures bettor, I'm honestly disappointed with Demko being out. As a general hockey fan, I kind of like that the series is now a little bit more even with the Smith and Net, because now it feels like this might go 6 or 7 games. I thought this could have been a runaway with Demko, you know, starting. So now it's a little more closer, but I still like Vancouver in this spot. I think Vancouver has the horses to get a win here, but I like the first period over a little bit more, and I laid $1.15 with that going over 1.5.
So we'll grab that. We can grab that here, -112. We see at Pinnacle, sponsor of the show here, so we'll lock in. First period over 1.5, -112. That's yet another bet in this game. 3 bets in the first game that we cover here. Many different ways to approach this one, many different ways to look at this one. And remember, we will recap all the picks at the very end of the show. So don't worry if you miss something or you're wondering what else we've got. We will go over them all at the very end there. You can also find them in the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ. Before we go to the next game here, we do have a super chat here on the show. So Poji Jen Stoner, appreciate the super chat. He says the super chat for NHL day playoff games. I would say weekend day playoff games are great. I don't know how much of a fan. I mean, I guess for us, it's a little bit different. Our lifestyle, we would be able to watch these games. So maybe more than other people, but I don't know how much I would be that into like weekday playoff games. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that? Weekday NHL playoff games?
No, that makes me think about the pandemic when there was games running from like 11 a.m. to like 10 at night, and that was just absolute insanity. So no, I'm not really crazy about it. So weekends, it's cool, but yeah, weekday that just starts getting a little weird.
Yeah.
So I mean, from like a personal level, like the weekends with the kids and stuff get really busy, so it's hard to sit down properly and watch a game. So a lot of it gets watched later at night, which makes for really long nights. Right. So on the weekends, I like watching the evening games.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm at with this as well. Minus the kids part there. So money, that's a little wild.
I would hope so.
I think. All right. Well, if you're watching as well right now and you haven't already, please hit that like button. Subscribe here to the channel. Let's keep moving. We got 3 more games to cover for tonight. 3 more games to break down. Let's jump back to the 7 o'clock game here. We got the Washington Capitals hosting the New York Rangers. Washington +152 as well. You can find that one at Pinnacle. On the other side, -165, -170s on the New York Rangers, and a total of 5.5 right across the board here. Alex, what are your thoughts on this game, where we're seeing the total, what we see on the price right now?
You know, when looking at this series when it first started, I kind of had game 3 circled me. Okay, well, this is definitely a spot where, you know, Washington, you know, either they could salvage a split or at least be down 2-0, but they'll have enough energy and have that crowd behind them to maybe get a win here. But the way that the Rangers have kind of dominated the first two, especially game one was really telling in how they're just able to just dominate the entire ice surface and keep this Capitals team at times just strictly around the perimeter, be it offensively or defensively. And that's really troublesome for a slower team like Washington. I don't know if they can outskate this Rangers team at any point in any time. Even with the man advantage, it doesn't seem like they have an actual man advantage. So where I was looking at Washington as a dog here, this is one I'm probably going to pass and maybe look for some live wagering opportunities. But I think this might be another spot where the Rangers find a way to get a victory and really, you know, push the Washington to the brink, take a 3-0 series lead.
So, Money, you have anything for us here in this game, betting-wise?
Well, you know, I didn't think that Washington played a poor game in game 2. I think that they did what they were supposed to do. The Rangers' chances were were very much surprised. I thought that Washington, they played that game how they're supposed to play that game and the way that we've seen them play down the stretch. The concern is Lindgren wasn't great, right? And I think that that's two games now where he hasn't been playing to the level that he was down the stretch. So that kind of concerns me, and that makes me think that just maybe he might be out of gas here. So I do. And then the other thing with like the Rangers too, right? Like I implore you to go back and like take a look at like the last two, like since we've had Edgeworth, how many times we've lamented on the Rangers getting outplayed but finding a way to win a game, right? So this is what they do. They know how to protect leads. They know how to sit on leads. They know how to absorb a game, right? And they have a world-class goalie behind them who does help them do that, right? And then you see their game change and evolve when they're tied or they're trailing, right? So so there's a lot of game, a lot of score effects with the Rangers play as well. So even though clearly -170, -175 on the road in this matchup, it's clearly inflated, but there are concerns that I have with Washington specifically, Lindgren possibly being out of gas, that keeps me away from betting Washington and possibly the underlook as well. So for those reasons, I will sit out this game.
For those reasons, so money is out. No bets for us there, but we did have three in the Canucks game. That's two games down, two to go here, gentlemen. Next up, let's take a look at the Colorado Avalanche hosting the Winnipeg Jets. Game three of this series, heading out to Colorado, excuse me, now tied 1-1. We see the Avs -158 here tonight. The Jets +145, 6.5s right across the board. Alex, I'll go to you again here first on this game. What are your thoughts, predictions, kind of how do you see this game playing out and where we're currently at with the price? Do you have any interest?
Yeah, you know, it's just classic. And any postseason where you have a series, it could be hockey, it could be basketball, it could be baseball. You're always going to have overreactions from game one to game two, or just game one overreactions in general. And I think the biggest overreaction we saw from any game two so far in the series was that Colorado's back. And now everything's all good in the world in Denver, and this team's about to make a run through the West. And most notably that Alexander Georgiev is back in the good form. And here's the thing. He wasn't in bad form. He hasn't been playing like shit. He's tired. He's burnt out. And we've been talking about this for month, almost, what, 2 months now, where this guy should have had, you know, some spots where he could have been able to get some rest. But because they don't have any other backup goalies that they can trust or rely on, they didn't make any moves. So down the stretch trying to win a division title, Georgiev kept playing and kept playing and kept playing. And now it seems to the point where when he has bad games, he has these awful games, and they start off early. And the defense in front of him hasn't really bailed him out too much, certainly didn't in game one. Game two was a different story. They played a little bit better in front of him. He did make some key saves, but at the same time, this is not the same all-star quality goalie we saw in the first half of the season. I think this price is a little bit inflated as far as Winnipeg as high as +145. I think the Jets bounce back, find a way to get some goals here, expose Georgiev once again, and I think they take a 2-1 series lead. So I'm rolling with the Jets here as a dog tonight.
Jets +145 here. We're finding best price available. Lock that in. It's available across a bunch of different sports books. So that is another best bet that we'll lock in. Again, remember, we'll recap all these at the very end. So, Money, are you kind of aligned with Alex B? You have a different thoughts on this game?
Well, from Colorado's perspective, if you told me before the series started that Colorado scored 11 goals in Winnipeg, I would have told you, wow, they went into Winnipeg and they came out with a 2-0 lead. That's amazing,
right?
We know, so like whenever you're evaluating teams and players, you're never as good and you're never as bad as we initially think of these guys, right? So you look at Hellebuck, right? We know he's not this bad, right? He's off to a tough start, and we also know what his ceiling is too. His ceiling is a Vezina winning goaltender, right? That's his ceiling, and we know that whatever he's playing in right now, that is not his established floor. He's playing well below his floor now. now it's there's five games left in the series. Maybe it's really small sample size. Maybe he doesn't recover his form. I don't know. But that's not something that I'll be betting on, him not recovering his form, because we have an established floor with him. So I think that conceptually, he is going to start playing better as the series goes on, just because of what we know his established floor is. Look at Colorado. I think Alex nailed it. When Georgiev has bad games, it's really bad, right? It's like It's like Soderblom level we're talking about, right? And then I thought he played better last game. And Alex touched on this too, that the Colorado played better defensively as well. It doesn't really mask the problems I've seen with Colorado down the stretch, though, and it doesn't mask what we saw in game one. It doesn't even mask some of the stretches that we saw in game two, right? So I think that there is an element of an overreaction here as well. My only concern with so I'm not betting Colorado at all. Like I can't get behind this number. My only concern with Winnipeg, though, is that I want to start seeing signs of Hellebuyck turning it around first. Once I start seeing that, and like that's just me like looking at the goalies, like where the rebounds are landing, where they are on their line, right? Like if they're overcommitting, if they're staying back in their net. Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for when I'm watching a goaltender play, and whether or not I see changes in the way that they've usually handled these situations. So I'm waiting for Hellebuyck. That's the reason I'm going to pass on this game, reluctantly pass on this game, because I really do want to bet the Jets, because I do think this is an overreaction on Colorado. I just need to see some signs from Hellebuyck first, and maybe I'll get in live, right? Maybe his rebounds are like just landing right in front of him. Right. And like, right. That's when I know that he's absorbing the shots. He's got his line and he is on top of his game. So I need to see that first. But I do like the Jets here.
But quickly, before we move off this game, Jordan bringing up is over 6.5 free money, obviously, tongue in cheek there talking about free money. But, in terms of this total, we see -107 on the over 6.5. So many of your thoughts on that total, where we're currently sitting at. Is this just going to come down to kind of what you're seeing of these guys live? Like, you can't really kind of jump in on anything ahead of time.
Exactly, right? Like, I don't know what kind of Georgiev we're going to get tonight. If he's average and Hellebuyck is good, then this probably stays under, because I think that both teams do want to tighten it up. If he's horrible and Hellebuyck is not up to his level still, then yeah, this game's gonna fly over, right? So I think we need to see what we're there's too many questions in play right now.
It's a great live betting game as far as the total is concerned, no matter.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the final game of the night here. We'll take a look at the Edmonton Oilers head out to LA to look to take a series lead here after the Kings got the best of them in overtime the other night, evening up that series in Edmonton 1-1. The Kings here tonight, +124, the Oilers -137. Alex, what are your thoughts on this game? Do you have anything, any bets for us here?
So, yeah, I did grab Edmonton last night at -$1.35, just kind of anticipating a price move. And sure enough, that's what we saw. Now we're seeing the cheapest thing I'm seeing around $1.40, $1.43, $1.45, up to $1.50. So that was kind of just a value grab. But I do trust in Edmonton bouncing back. It doesn't matter where they are, home or road. This is a team we can just trust to bounce back after a really tough kind of a overtime loss. And the LA Kings, they're an interesting bunch as far as being at home, because – early in the year, this team was dismal at Crypto.com Arena. And then all of a sudden, they turn around and finish up the season essentially being one of the best home teams in the league. So kind of wondering, what LA Kings home team are we going to see tonight in this spot? Obviously, they have a little bit of momentum getting that win. Kopitar with a fantastic goal, just adding to his lore of being one of the LA Kings legends and still hanging around trying to get one more cup run out of this group, and it's going to take efforts from him. Drew Doughty, who we also saw score a goal in game two, those guys are really going to have to keep that energy rolling. They're the veterans in that room. They have to, you know, let these guys know, hey, now that we're home, it's even series, we can, you know, dictate things on our terms, on our pace. But the thing is, can they really follow through with that? If Edmonton really shows up hot and heavy, brings their speed game, they can outskate the wind out of this LA Kings team, in my opinion, especially as far as the defensive matchups go. So I trust in Edmonton here to get right back on the series lead, and that's why I took a shot laying the price willing.
All right, so there you go. Would you still want to play this here at minus 137, Alex? We can find it at minus 140s as well. But
yeah, 137, I'd maybe go a half unit with that.
All right, there you go. We'll jump in on the Oilers. So money, any thoughts on this game before I go ahead and lock this in? Or as I go ahead and lock this in, sorry.
Yeah. So Edmonton really doesn't need to change their game that much here. I think that they were unlucky to lose to lose game two. Now, we did talk about the last time, I don't know, Monday or whenever we were talking about this series, and I did mention that my concern is that as the series goes on, I worry that Edmonton, like how they're going to do with these games tightening up, especially if a Skinner can't get to a, if he can't get to a high level, right? So, but there's a lot of narratives there as well, because there's nothing that realistically I've seen from Edmonton throughout the season this year specifically that makes me think that that they wouldn't be fine in like a tighter game, that they do have the depth, forward depth this year, and they're better equipped to kind of play those tighter games as well. In terms of Skinner, so I was fully prepared to kind of just block that game out for him as just a one-off, right? Like, it's a bad game. It happens. There was a couple of bad goals he gave up. There was a couple of unlucky goals as well, right, in game one as well. But I went back a little bit, and, like, I was looking at the way he was playing down the stretch again this year, and there were a couple of road games that stood out to me where he was – his the way that I scored that game was below his established floor that he has this season. So that does concern me a bit. We talked about these games getting tighter. You would think it does, but these two teams, it is a little bit weird with them, the way that they play each other for whatever reason. We see these totals get high, and I will pass on this game for now, because similar to the Winnipeg-Colorado series, I do have some questions that I need answered, and I think I will get those answers as this series goes on, and usually we can get ahead of the market with those answers, but if I try to answer the questions I have right now, I'm just guessing, right? And I'm not interested in that at this moment. So for those reasons, I will reluctantly set out this game. But I'm very, very interested to see if this series does, in fact, tighten it up. I'm very interested to see how Edmonton fights through the Kings trying to choke out these games, especially if they get a lead at home.
So many, you've done it a couple of times now. I was trying to figure out what it was that it was reminding me of. You kept saying, for those reasons, I'm out. For those reasons, I'm not betting on this. It's Dragons Den. The whole time I was trying to think about what it was that it was reminding me of. It's like, for that reason, I'm out. So that's where we're at on these games. I was trying to think of a name to call it. The only one that I could come up with quickly was like Edging Den, and that is just fucked up.
No. Yeah. careful there, Zach. No, but... yeah, but Dragon's Den makes sense. I mean, we are essentially investing
opportunities.
Yeah, so I like that a lot better than where your mind is at right now, Zach.
Well, I was trying to think of something that could go with the show, and I was like,
No, that doesn't go with the show at all.
Like, no, yeah, right. I can't do that. Can't do that. All right, there you go. That'll do it for today's games. We appreciate everyone who tuned in here. We go through four, give out a bunch of best bets, actually three in one game there. So we'll recap them all here. Again, you can find them over in the BetStamp app in the Find Better section as Edgework HQ. If you are looking to tail, if you're looking to see what we've bet, when we bet it, what books we're betting it at, what prices we're betting it at, that's where you can find it. So head on over there. But checking out what bets we have for today as well, hit that like button before we leave. But bets for today, first of all, we're going to go to the Canucks game where we've got three here. So we'll start with the first period over 1.5, minus 112. Then we're going to go to Elias Pettersson shot prop over 2.5 shots on goal, plus 140. And final bet in this game, Canucks money line, minus 103. So those are our three bets in the Canucks game. As well, we're going to go with the Winnipeg Jets money line, plus 145. And our final bet of the night, the Edmonton Oilers money line, minus 137. And that one is to win a half unit there. So we're going half unit play on that one. Those are our official bets for the day. If you did enjoy the show, please make sure to hit that like button, subscribe here to the channel, turn on notifications, all that good stuff. We'll be back with this same crew Monday morning to recap the weekend, break everything down, and preview the games for Monday night. Thanks so much to everyone who tuned in. We appreciate all the support. That'll do it for us here today. Enjoy the games tonight. Good luck on your bets.